before I get to the teaching, I was thinking about some of the things that Terry was sharing. Some of it he's joking because he's really not old. He's still a long ways behind me. But I've kind of said this before, but I just sense God wants me to share this. Those of you, Terry, myself, everybody else, that feel like they're old, I sense that God is wanting you to know that he's calling you out. He's calling you out of retirement. He's calling you in to be part of the Joshua generation. Now study that out. Joshua's about 80, leading all these young kids into the promised land. And I believe that God is closing the gap, the age gap that I believe society tries to set up. That there are people who try to set up this gap, that we don't understand each other. But in the kingdom, we do understand each other because it's all about Jesus. I mean, what did Paul say? It's Christ and him crucified. So I just want us to understand, you know, we could take this time as negative. But for those in the kingdom, for those in Christ, this is a very positive time. This is a time where those who are older are being equipped to step forth into being part of the Joshua generation. This is a time that all of us are being equipped and prepared for what God has in the days ahead. Now, I don't know how long this is going to go on. Here in this state, the governor is going to release this coming week a plan on how to open up the state, whatever that means. But God has a plan, too, for opening up his church. And part of that is for you folks who think that you have retired, God has a surprise for you because you have a lot of wisdom. You might say, I don't know the scriptures, I don't know this. You live life. You follow Jesus. You have a lot to offer those who are younger. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So it's going to help us to move forward. Title of today's message is Spiritual Gifts. It's part 7 of the Spiritual Gifts, Distinguishing Between Spirits. Now, I'm going to go through some stuff that we've been going through every week. Somebody asked me, why do I keep repeating some of this stuff? Well, because we need to get it into our DNA. We need to get it into every cell. We need to understand what God is doing. Just like he's calling forth the Joshua generation, he's calling forth his whole church to walk into newness. As a friend of mine said, she doesn't want to go back to the normal. She wants the new normal in the church. And I so do too. And that's what he's preparing us for. So we're going to continue on our journey to figure out what it is that God is doing in his church today, what he wants to do in his church tomorrow and the next day and a year from now. Because it's dynamic. It's vibrant. It's powerful. It's what the world needs more than anything else. You know, I shared this week that can't even think of his name. He does Christian surveys.
Barna.
George Barna, thank you. That as a result of a recent survey, more people believe in Satan than they do in Jesus. Another part said more people believe that Jesus was divine but a sinner than they believe that Jesus was divine and sinless. The world needs God, and he is expressed through the church. So step up, Joshua generation. Step up the rest of the people. Because we're about to go on a really good roller coaster ride. I believe that. So let me read these scriptures I've been reading over and over that we need to get down into us. 1 Corinthians 4:15, the Passion Bible. For although you could have countless babysitters or guides or teachers or instructors in Christ telling you what you're doing wrong, you don't have many fathers who correct you in love. But I'm a true father to you, says Paul. For I became your father when I gave you the gospel and brought you into union with Jesus, the anointed one. Just like you're going to be the father of people when you share the gospel and they come into the kingdom. You're not to pass them off to the pastor, an elder, or somebody. You are to be the father. So what's that mean? It means we need spiritual fathers and mothers, which we can all be. The second scripture is Acts 2:43. Actually, Acts 2:42 to 47, but Acts 2:43. New Living Translation, a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And then what we're concentrating now and now, 1 Corinthians 12:7-11, to each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. See, we know this. We know that we all need to be walking in the gifts that God has given us because he has blessed us to be good fathers, to be good mothers. And it all wraps back around to 1 Corinthians 12:7, ESV, all for the common good, NLT, so we can help each other. We need to be there for each other. So far as we've gone through 1 Corinthians 12, we've discussed utterance of wisdom, utterance of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, and tongues. You can find it on our website, cfjcmo.org, or you can find it on our Facebook page. They're all there, I think. We went through somewhat ad nauseum that these gifts are available today, and they're available to everyone. The biggest thing that I think about is why would Jesus, who used all of these gifts, the apostles who used all of these gifts, stop them to where we wouldn't have them to do what we're supposed to be doing today, which is to be like Jesus and do the work, same work that the apostles were called to do. Of course he wouldn't do that. They're here. They're available to us. So last time we talked about New Testament prophecy, which is the first of the communicative gifts, and it's different than Old Testament prophecy. You can look at the message from last week. But New Testament prophecy is there for a purpose, and it's really three purposes. First is it, or the definition of it is spontaneously moving on a person to speak forth his heart and perspective, whether directional or comforting, in an utterance that strengthens, encourages, and comforts the person God has told him to speak to. And the three parts is, the first part is a revelation from God, which he gives to somebody, to share with somebody. And then the second part is the interpretation by the person it was disclosed to. And we talked about how that depending on the prophecy, they could do it themselves, or they can go to somebody that's gifted, they can go to a leader of the church that they're part of. And the third part is the application of the revelation by the person receiving it. Paul encourages us to pursue prophecy, not once, not twice, but three times in 1 Corinthians 14, 1, 5, and 39. All wrapped around love being our highest goal. So this week, one of my favorites, distinguishing between spirits. I want to admit something right up front. When I used to read that, I would freak out. And it was part of the reason was because I was involved in a exorcism, for lack of a better word, where I was really freaked out. In fact, I left the room. But the more I looked at it, the more I prayed into it, the more I understood this gift is so especially important, that I believe that it is imperative that every follower of Jesus develop this gift. And we're going to unfold why. So, distinguishing spirits. Distinguishing, that word in Strong's is diakrisis, means discerning clearly. Leonida, which is nothing more than a dictionary, it's a lexicon dictionary, is the ability to evaluate and make judgments and decisions about the genuineness of gifts and from which spirit they came, holy or evil. Spirits, the Greek word there is pneuma, means breath, it means life. It's the vital spirit or life. And the lexicon, Leonida lexicon says, a supernatural, non-material being, either good or evil. See, this is a gift that allows us to listen to something being spoken, whether verbally or something, you know, you've seen the old cartoon of the devil's on one shoulder and the angel's on the other shoulder. To listen to what's being said, or to observe what's being done, to evaluate it, and then by prayer and plus all the other stuff that goes into it, which we're going to get into, decide whether it comes from God or it's not. Now, most theologians believe that this gift of distinguishing of spirits is linked to the gift of prophecy. Now, what am I talking about? We are to evaluate spirits, like we talked about last week in evaluating prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14:29, New Living Translation. Let two or three people prophesy, and let the others evaluate what is said. 1 Thessalonians 5:20 and 21, ESV. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Same thing goes to every other action. Everything else is spoken. See, here's the truth, church. We all need the gift of discerning the spirits. Now, yeah, just like every other gift, there may be some people that are more gifted in it than others. I've seen people that have spent just buku time, almost like a lifetime, studying this. And they're really gifted, and they're really good at it. Valuing spirits. So we know how to follow God or whether it's a counterfeit. Now, there's something interesting about counterfeit. This is actually down further, but I think it fits here well. Do you realize those who are trained to pick out counterfeit dollars never look at counterfeit dollars or fives or tens? They study the true ones. They study the good ones so they can pick out the bad ones. That's how it is with distinguishing the spirits. We are to study the good ones so that we will know. See, the Bible refers to the devil or Satan more than 85 times, and that doesn't include the word Lucifer or the evil one or whatever else he may be called. I like how Wayne Grudem puts it. It's a little wordy, but that's kind of how Wayne Grudem is. This gift would seem to be an ability to sense or discern the difference in the working of the Holy Spirit and the working of evil spirits in a person's life. The gift would apparently include an awareness of demonic influence that would be registered both in terms of objective, observable facts, and also in terms of emotional and or spiritual uneasiness or perception of the presence of evil. Well, Simon Kistenmacher kind of boils it down and says, the power and influence of spirits can be discerned by their word, deed, and appearance. Which you can do. Which I can do. See, as we walk this walk, we want to be able to tell the good guys from the bad guys. Because the good guys will lead us to Jesus. The bad guys will lead us away from Jesus. So we want to know the difference between the good guys and the bad guys in every situation. Always remembering that Satan can even disguise himself as an angel of light. It's what it says in 2 Corinthians 11:14, NLT. But I am not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. That's Paul saying that. Let's look at some examples. You know, God went to Adam and Eve, and he gave them some specific instructions about what to eat and not to eat. You know the story. It's taught in every Sunday school class, starting probably 3, 4, 5 years old or whatever. Genesis 2:16-17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And then what happens? You know the story. Satan comes on the scene. And in my perspective, he comes on the scene as the angel of light, equating himself to God. And he says this, but the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The implication being, why wouldn't God want you to know the difference between good and evil? Well, we know what we've done with that one, don't we? Another example is when Jesus was with his disciples in Matthew 16, he explained to them how he was going to suffer and die. And Peter rebuked him. Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. I love Peter. If you've not seen the movie or series or whatever it is, The Chosen, it's still free till the 30th. And you can get it on YouTube. You can get it on, what's the name of the? VidAngel. It's an app you can download. It's well worth it. It's very, very good. So what did Jesus say when Paul said, when Peter said that? He turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You're a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. See, Jesus was discerning that Satan was actually speaking to Peter and speaking through Peter and making Peter an agent to try and seduce Jesus to get the crown without the cross. But Jesus rebuked Satan. He's not rebuking Peter. He's rebuking Satan, which I'm sure Peter felt like he was rebuked too. Another one, Paul had this experience in Philippi, and you go, first time I read this scripture, I go, and the problem is? Acts 16:17, New Living Translation. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, and this is a woman who could see things and so forth, not by the Spirit of God. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved. What's wrong with that? But Paul responded a verse later. This went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, the demon within her, because the demon knows who Jesus is. The demon knows who God is better than we do on some days. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and instantly it left her. The spirit was speaking truth. What's the problem? The problem was, it was demonic. As subtle as that was, but Paul was using the gift of distinguishing of spirits, just like we need to be using. This is not a scary thing. This is something we should be cultivating so that in every aspect of our life, we can go, is it the devil or is it the angel? See, this is how bad it can be, how Satan can be such an angel of light. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 and 10. This man will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit power and signs and miracles. He will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. It kind of reminds you of a thing in Matthew 7 where this person goes to Jesus and Jesus goes and he goes how he cast out demons and he healed the sick in his name, which is doing what this scripture is talking about. And Jesus goes, go away, I never knew you. Depart from me. Because he didn't love and he didn't accept the truth. And Jesus really warned us about the same thing as Paul did in Matthew 24:24. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect, that be Christians. And you go, well, that can't happen today. It happened in Germany when many, many people left the church and started following the church, the state church that Hitler set up. And we see it in various places in Revelation. See, Satan can creep in through ungodly people, Jude 4, NLT. I say this because some ungodly people have wormed, I like that phrase, wormed their way into your churches, saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. The condemnation of such people was recorded long ago, for they have denied our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. We've had people like that here. And you have to deal with it, but it takes the discerning of the spirits. See, because of what the ungodly folks said in this scripture in Jude 4, they denied Jesus. It doesn't say how, but the fact remains that they did. It's written. Godless people entered into a group of people claiming God's grace allows immorality. Kind of contradicts Romans 6, 1 and 2, where it says, shall I sin all the more that grace may abound? Verse 2, nope. These people, whoever they were, claimed to know God, but their teachings and their actions indicated they did not. Now we're talking about how denying Jesus. There's different people that believe different things in theology. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how they talked, how a false teacher will deny Christ. And probably wouldn't be that obvious where they stand up and say, I deny Christ. But as you look at what they're saying, they're denying Christ and the power thereof. Or they twist scripture. Demons love to twist scripture. I mean, think about The temptation of Jesus in the desert after he fasted for 40 days. And Satan came along and started in Matthew 4. And Satan came along and tempted him three times. And what did Jesus do? He quoted Scripture. Might be a little clue about the importance of knowing Scripture. And false prophets also exist. That's, we kind of talked about that last week. But these things run together, and we need to remember these things. That's why we need to be cautious. 2 Peter 2:1, what's it say? But there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will cleverly teach destructive heresies and even deny the master who bought them. In this way, they will bring sudden destruction on themselves. See, a lot of what Paul wrote to the churches in the various epistles was to address false teaching. Peter was aware of false teachers. He also knew false teachers would come in the future. That's why we need to be able to discern spirits. As false prophets and false teachers are both present today, tickling our ears, making us feel good. See, and again, Jesus said basically the same thing as Peter, using different words in his Olivet Discourse, which is Matthew 24. Matthew 24, 4 and 5. And Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray." It's a prophetic word. It's probably going to happen. And we see it happening. Think of who's the guy that led people to South America to drink the Kool-Aid. Think of the cults that are out there. Many false prophets and teachers will come teaching things that just are not supported by the Bible. Just think about how people define God. This is how God should be. It's false. It's wrong. And it can lead us down a path that we begin to deny the power of Jesus, the grace of Jesus, the mercy of Jesus. That's why we need to have this gift of discerning the spirits. See, if someone is not with Jesus, guess who they're with? It's purely black and white. There's no middle ground. If there is, what did Jesus say? Because you were lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. I know this can be hard, but we need to be careful, folks. If someone is not for Jesus, then they're for the evil one. It's just that simple. We need this gift. It's through this gift that's available to all that we can discern the truth. Satan loves to present himself as a counterfeit of Jesus. Because that's why he fell. He wanted to be equal to God. He wants to replicate Jesus, yet being so wrong and so evil. As an angel of light, as I said before, remember how people recognize counterfeit money. They study, they study, they study, they study the true stuff, to where I imagine they can close their eyes and they can see it clearly. They may even dream about it for all I know. Likewise, we need to study and attune ourselves to God, to His Word, to His Holy Spirit, through prayer, through fellowship that helps us to walk through, because we may miss this one, but they won't miss that one. Or we may see one that they miss. That's why it's so important. Relationships and godly teaching. So like I say, one of the wonderful things about the internet, there's a lot of good teachers out there. One of the negative things about the internet, there's some not so good teachers out there. So we do all this because we want to know some, because we can know some things. We can know whether a word, a deed, or an appearance is God or not. We can know that we can call a person out as a son of a devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, just as Paul discerned of Elymas in Acts 13:10, the scripture I read earlier. We can know that a person has faith to be healed, as Paul did, the crippled man in Acts 14, as Peter and John did, as they went up to the temple, as other places where it's recorded that Jesus saw they had faith to be healed. We can discern whether a person is under the influence of demonic spirits or just suffering from some emotional or psychological illness, because there are things that affect the brain. It's not always demonic, but sometimes it can be demonic. We can discern the spirits that are present in some situations or a place where they are demonic or godly. We can discern whether the prophecy that was presented to us was of God or not. We can discern if something violates Scripture or not. We discern how God is being defined by what we think or who he is, possibly putting ourselves in a box and not understanding who he really is. And we can distinguish between a true Jesus-following teacher and a false Christ. Now, I want to put a little caveat here. It doesn't mean the person's not a Christian. They may have just missed it and listened to the wrong spirit. I've had that happen. I've seen it happen in my life. You don't write them off. Maybe you just rebuke the devil like Jesus did to Peter. See, what this all comes down to is this. The worship team wants to come back up. We have to know some things about the spiritual world. Yes, folks. There is a spiritual world, both good and evil. It's there. When somebody says that they believe more in Satan, that Satan exists in God, it's not that they're wrong that he exists. They're wrong that they don't understand, but both exist, and that there's a difference. We also need to understand we're in a war, a spiritual war. That's why we need to put the full armor of God on. And it's not just simply putting it on, but it's understanding what each one of those six pieces of armor stand for. And we need to understand that Satan doesn't want anything more than to see us defeated, than to see us say, I'm going to follow that man and not God. Satan wants the glory. That's why he was cast out of heaven. He didn't change. He didn't get to earth and go, well, I blew that one. I guess I better change. No. He wants the glory that so rightly belongs to the triune God and only the triune God. See, it's good that God has given us some things. It's good that he has given us his word. Everything there, everything we need is right there in those 66 books. We just need to put on our Berean hats. We need to read it. We need to study it. We need to get some Bible aids or whatever to help us understand the Greek or the Hebrew, to help us understand the customs of the time and how things were being said and so forth. It's all available on the internet. You don't have to buy it. He's given us prayer to where we can sit there in his presence and listen to his heart and our heart touch his heart to where he can download stuff to us. Not stuff that's going to add to the scripture or take away from the scripture. Not stuff that's going to violate the scripture, but stuff that we need to help us to understand the scripture it's going to validate the scripture. Again, we need fellowship with one another. That's a place where Satan has attacked, and we have sometimes have missed it so badly that he wants relationships. He wants us to be together. He wants us to be speaking to each other. That's why during even this time, we need to continue to text and call and even drive by. And we need to know godly teachers. And again, relationships help with that, where somebody could say, I listened to this, and others can say, well, did you know this about this? Or, yeah, that's a really good person, or whatever. Because I know a true believer is going to want nothing, to know nothing but the truth of the living God. Where Satan, he doesn't want you to know anything about God. And he's given us, he, the living God, mighty God, has given us the ability to discern which spirit is behind every activity. You can do it. I can do it. We all can do it. It just takes a little effort. We need to roll up our sleeves. We need to spend some time with the Lord. We need to read the scriptures. We need to study. We need to, in our fellowship with people, say, what do you think about that? What do you think? What's being said? Or I had this dream. What do you think? So as I'm closing, I exhort us to develop this gift to the degree possible, to run after it like a fine steak, like chocolate ice cream. Somebody just laughed because they knew I'd work chocolate in somewhere. To the point where we know that we know that we know that we know which spirit we are dealing with. So if it's not a godly spirit, we can just say, get thee behind me, Satan. I don't think there's anybody that wants to be deceived. But the only way we cannot be deceived is to be in Christ and pursue him and all he has for us. Because I really believe, that if you are walking with Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus, then I really believe you really want to know God's truth. That you want it to come forth, not only in your life, but in your friend's life, in the church's life, in the kingdom's life. Whether that truth comes through the prophetic, or it comes through some teaching, whether it comes through some action or any other avenue that God chooses to use. So pursue this gift, church. It's important. And I'll even really add right now, it's really important for those who are being called into the Joshua generation. Because we're called to test. To judge, to discern. Amen?